This is the Hollywood Casino Press Box. Now back to Frank Cusimano on 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com. Talk to me,
so you can see. Maryville's University Digital World Program provides students with free iPads loaded with textbooks and more than 150 apps. The program is designed to engage students as critical thinkers. Go to maryville.edu. What a great athletic department headed by Lonnie Folks, their outstanding athletic director. All right, NFL mock drafts really became very interesting yesterday because your guy, Charlie, has moved to the top of the quarterback list, Dwayne Haskins, now that the young man, Herbert, is not going to put himself into the draft. So that's big news. You could go actually 1-2. You never know. Nick Bosa won, and your guy too.
Yeah, it seems like I have seen where Nick Bosa is projected as one of the top guys in the draft. I was looking yesterday at the top 16 draft order. Now, obviously, there's one more week of the NFL. But right now, when you look at the top 16, so the first half of the first round, you have Arizona 1, just draft Rosen. You wouldn't think they're going quarterback. San Francisco has Garoppolo. New York Jets, they have Sam Darnold. Oakland Raiders, you have Carr. Detroit,
well, that I don't know. Okay. Who knows how that thing.
That's true. Detroit
that's
Lions.
That's a possible landing spot.
Have Stafford. I think, though, unless something weird happens. Now, teams might start trading up as well. Tampa Bay, can you count on Jameis Winston right now?
Nope.
So I think when you look at the top 16 picks, I saw what I thought was six teams that should probably draft a quarterback if they really like somebody. And that's,
okay, Cincinnati?
Well, I didn't even include them. I think the Giants for sure. Eli Manning is basically
Jacksonville's
crumbling.
One. Okay, so Jacksonville's one.
I counted Tampa Bay, New York Giants, Jacksonville, Denver for sure. Denver has Case Keenum. We know, you know, I was there covering the Mizzou Arkansas game where both John Elway and Gary Kubiak were there to watch Drew Lock in person. And they're at 12 right now. That does seem like kind of the perfect spot if Denver stays around there. Yeah, I think Cincinnati with Andy Dalton, not a guarantee they'll go after quarterback, but they could. And then you have Miami at 15 right now. Ryan Tannehill, also injured a good amount.
Yeah.
Are you counting on him as your future?
No way.
And then Washington Redskins, where
you
Alex Smith just had one of the most horrific injuries we've ever
seen. So that's six in the top what?
So if you count, because I agree with you now, that Cincinnati should probably be in the mix. That gives you seven teams
in the top
16.
Oh, wow.
So I know your bet with Strick. When you look at that, I can't see Drew Lock not going in the top 16 picks.
Well, who does he go? Who goes before him besides Haskins?
Do you think Greer is he a better pro prospect?
I think he's a better
than Drew Lock?
He did a lot more things. He did a few more things in college that were better than Lock, but I don't think he's a better pro prospect.
I do.
It's close. It's a toss up.
Maybe I'm a little biased. Dwayne Haskins is really, really good. I mean, he has a huge arm as well. He's also playing that Urban Meyer offense where for years it was always kind of that spread option. He's not the runner that most Ohio State quarterbacks were, but still he's an excellent passer, put up unbelievable numbers, set every single record. So I could see him being a starting NFL quarterback. I could see Drew Lock being a starting NFL quarterback. I think for Drew Lock this year, it was so important for him, even though the numbers weren't as gaudy, he was making more of those intermediate NFL throws. I remember watching that Tennessee game.
Oh.
And honest to God, Drew Lock put on a clinic. If you're scouting Drew Lock, or if you're his agent, you just send that tape out because he was dropping dimes in tight windows, the type of throws you have to make in the NFL.
Yeah, the thing about it, too, is like the detractors want to point to things. Oh, that bad interception against South Carolina. Like, Patrick Mahomes didn't throw bad interceptions. Like Jared Goff didn't lose every significant game he played in.
Jay Cutler.
Exactly.
In the SEC.
Of course. Yeah. Yeah. That's interesting.
But still, he had a nice NFL career of 10 years.
And, you know, there's one similarity in his arm talent. I'm not saying it's as good as Cutler's because Cutler's arm talent was Jeff George-esque, who's a great comparison with him. But the guy made so many unbelievable throws and teams are not going to say, we're not going to draft you because you threw a terrible interception and cost Mizzou the game against South Carolina in a storming rain. That's not how teams look. They look at these great throws. They go by interviews. They go by shorts and T-shirts and those workouts where he's just going to light it up. And how many of those in those seven, by the way, are in the top 10?
See, this draft, it seems like all of those teams, most of them are kind of about 7 to 16. That's where...
Okay.
But look, you could see some of these teams. We always have a team or two that really loves
Jack,
a quarterback.
Do you have Oakland in your list, by the way?
Oakland is 4. And there you go. Maybe...
Was that one of your 7?
Wow.
It wasn't. And maybe John Gruden falls in love with a quarterback.
Oh, I would think with everything that has gone on between he and Carr, that they could be shopping for a quarterback right now.
So. Could you trade Derek Carr? He makes a lot of money. I think he's still pretty good. He's on just an absolutely horrendous team. I do think you're good with your bet, though. At this point, first of all, something, in my opinion, something catastrophic would have to happen for Drew Lock not to be picked in the first round, let alone, let's say, the top 16 picks.
Yeah, he'd have to throw 4 picks next Monday.
I just think when you look at him...
And show up drunk to his interviews.
But he has all the things that you would be looking for. And I'm not saying he's been the greatest college quarterback of all time. He hasn't. But he's played a lot. We're talking, what, 50 games?
Yeah.
He's been a starter in the SEC for 3.5 years. I understand for a long time we talked about his numbers versus the non-SEC schools, and that was a thing. He had ridiculous numbers as a junior. They had a winning season as a junior after him and that team starting off horrendous. This year, although the numbers were not as good, I think it's safe to say he was a better all-around quarterback. Again, he made more of the NFL throws. What is he? He's 6'5". He can throw the ball probably 70, 80 yards. Somebody is going to fall in love with him. He's a good kid. He's smart. He's going to interview well. I just can't see this kid not going in the top 20 or so.
I was a little stunned that Justin Herbert decided not to. I mean, we're talking 6'6", 225. And in most mock drafts, even though he had kind of an up-and-down season, he was ahead of everybody. So I don't know why... But I guess it works out. Guys that stay an extra year, it sometimes works out. Most of the time.
Don't you feel like that changes, too? It seems like almost every year, there's the quarterback that before the season starts, everybody says, okay, that's going to be the number one pick. And then somebody new always comes in. For example, nobody was talking about Dwayne Haskins potentially leaving college early. And now there's talk of him being the first quarterback drafted. That was not being discussed 3-4 months ago at all.
Yeah, that's a good point. You know what's interesting, too, is that these quarterbacks, like a guy like Herbert, is going to come back and play for free at age 22. And yet, NBA mock drafts, if you are a junior or a senior and you're in the NBA draft, there's something wrong with you. Well, why did he stay so long?
that was Draymond. I think that's why people were so it was so unexpected that Draymond Green was such a good NBA player's first 4 or 5 years. You never expected a guy, because you're thinking, why is this guy still at Michigan State as a senior? What's wrong with him? And some guys are late bloomers. He transformed his body. We were talking off air. I was at Draymond Green's high school commitment ceremony where he said he's going to Michigan State. And this kid had a ton of baby fat when he was young. Even at Michigan State, he wasn't a real in-shape guy. But clearly when he got to the NBA, he did something nutritionally and workout-wise where he's turned himself into kind of an athletic specimen now.
That's why, like, Tyler Cook, who's now a junior at Iowa, who's really a good player. I think, Plowsy, we had him at 54?
54, and they said if he stays his senior year, more than likely a late first-rounder.
So, I mean, that's rare that you have a senior, you know, who's a first-round pick. Who's the guard at Duke? Oh, was there for 4 years, had all the problems. Oh. Oh, he's getting fights with everybody, stomped on people.
Grayson Allen.
Yeah. What are his NBA numbers like?
Oh, God.
I'll tell you what's impressive. You should Google who he's currently dating right now.
Is that right?
A former Duke soccer player who's kind of an Instagram sensation. You should check on Grayson Allen. Anybody listening out there should check on Grayson Allen's current
He's squeeze. Averaging 4 Great. Points a game.
All right. I asked for the stats, and Plowsy immediately goes for the girlfriend. Oh, yeah. Boy, that is strong. Yeah, nice. All right. How about NBA mock draft? Okay, freshman Zion Williamson, freshman R.J. Barrett, freshman Cam Reddish, all from Duke, freshman Cavaliers, Kevin Porter, USC, freshman Indiana, that Romeo Langford. Do we have anyone? Little from North Carolina, freshman at 6. Oh, we have the sophomore from Murray State, by the way. I don't know if you've seen this guy, but Murray State has a 7th pick in the draft kind of player in this Andres Morant, I believe his name is. So, wow.
It is weird, though, because, and again, I followed the NBA much closer back in the day because I was a big Pistons fan. I watched more NBA. But don't you remember, I'm thinking back early 90s. I remember my favorite player in college was Jimmy Jackson. And Jimmy Jackson goes, I think it was fourth overall to the Dallas Mavericks. But I remember watching those drafts back in the day. You would know every single player that was picked in the first round of the NBA draft because those guys all played big-time college basketball for the most part for three or four seasons. And now when you watch the NBA draft, half the dudes are freshmen that if they weren't on Duke, you don't really know their names. The other half are European guys. Where back in the day, it's like you knew 25, 30 of those players from watching them in the NCAA tournament for 3 or 4 years.
All right, let's welcome to the program. Oh, Ryan Kelly is not with us.
No, he's
but
busy.
But you can tell us about Ryan.
Yeah, 314-781-9700. They have 5-minute loan approvals at thehomeloanexpert.com, the place to go to. Looking to refinance or just get a new loan to buy a new house. Give them a call. 314-781-9700.
I heard a Bill Simmons podcast the other day, and he had a ranking of NBA players in terms of value. And he had factoring in contract and, like, not wanting to trade. He had, like, Jason Tatum, like, in the top 10. Now, he's not saying that Tatum is one of the 10 best players, but under control,
was
upside.
Was Devin Booker involved in that list?
Well, he should have been.
If you've seen his last 8 or 9
games. Oh, my
games,
goodness.
33 points, why are 8 assists, shooting a ridiculous percentage, and he's only 25 years old, 24
years old? Oh, he's younger than that, Third year, and he came out at 19, 22, how about the fact that they're so bad, and yet they have two really
and
great Aiden's players?
Aiden's really good, too.
Oh my
gosh. I like that team for the future, but the Suns always have a way of messing it up, so I'm not for sure. It's kind of a New Age Kings thing where they get a lot of good players. Not a lot of success.
Do you think it's fair to say this is not just hindsight either? Because last year, clearly, Jason Tatum had a fantastic year. Markel Fultz didn't. But even when that was going on, didn't you think that was odd that the Celtics are able to get the guy they actually wanted, which is Tatum, and still make the trade and get other draft assets? I don't remember anybody saying, oh, my God. Markel Fultz is a guy you have to have. I mean, he's playing at Washington. I understand it wasn't a team that we all saw on TV a lot, but to this day now, and after the fact, with what Markel Fultz is, what's going on with him right now physically, and the fact that he can't shoot, whatever's going on with his shoulder.
He could be worse than Anthony Bennett ended up being in the pros.
Guys like that don't come back from that.
No, you can't.
But also, look at it like this. Okay, I understand Ben Simmons also, he has not developed as a shooter at all. But think about
it. You'll take him.
Yeah. Well,
okay, but my point is, entering that draft last year, if you're the Philadelphia 76ers, you think you have a generational point guard, and you still might with Ben Simmons. You think or know you have a generational big man in Joel Embiid. What do you need? You need the generational type swingman.
Oh, yeah.
The three. That's Jason Tatum. It made no sense at all for them to draft.
How about
Markel
even
Fultz?
This year, they started off the season by saying, yeah, let's keep J.J. Redick on the bench and let's start Markel Fultz to do anything possible to get him going. And yet Redick is like the absolute perfect player to play with Ben Simmons, who can't shoot and just spot up and knock down threes. So,
has Ben Simmons made a three-pointer yet in his NBA career? I know that was a big talking point for a while, that he had not made, I believe, one three-pointer. And that's how bad his shot is.
It is interesting that Philadelphia is trying to win with guards who can't shoot.
Like, he can't shoot at all.
Well, neither can Fultz, I mean, at all. Like, he didn't even have a form.
Fultz looks like Charles Barkley when he was swinging the golf club back in the day where he would just get the yips.
But they have enough with Jimmy Butler and Embiid and a very effective Simmons, despite he can't shoot, and Redick to win the Eastern Conference.
Simmons has not made a three. He hasn't even shot one this year.
And what is he in his career the year before? What did he do?
Oh, he was 0 for 11.
Think about that.
A man's got to know his limitations.
Yeah, that is true.
Pretty unbelievable.
Okay, but there are 7-foot big men, like Anthony Davis. What is he shot from three? There are 7-footers that can at least make, I don't know, 27% from three.
But it's like what Scott Highmark said in Brian's chair yesterday. He thinks you are a shooter by the time you're like 14 or 15. You either are or you aren't, although there are exceptions. So
that's
all
fair.
Right, we have a big hour coming up, the coveted hour, and you're going to have some Tommy Pham stuff.
We do. We got myself, Brian Hoffman, Matt Rocchio will be sliding in, and he'll probably give us an update on the NBA conversation we just had because he loves the association. Jim Huer will be sliding in. And then as well, our guy, you know, we miss him on the field, but we also miss him with the sound bites. Tommy Pham, as we all know here in St. Louis, always candid, always speaks his mind, and he did again in an MLB Network radio interview, which is really good. I think Cardinals fans will appreciate it. Maybe not so much Tampa Bay Rays fans of what Tommy Pham said. That's coming up next on the Midday Grind on 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com.